It's time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball center field. It's hit well. Grisham back. It is gone! Another Mother's Day miracle for the Brewers.
Jeff Levering is brought to you by Carbless Premium ready-to-drink cocktails. Carbless, less is more. Find Carbless at your local grocer today.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the News to bring me in today. Love that.
Thank you. And I love Huey Lewis in the News, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always appreciate Jeff Levering taking some time out of his busy schedule to chat with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jeff, I want to start with this. I saw that Kyle Harrison's ERA changed, and I saw some of the details behind that. Can you peel back the curtain for us a little bit and just explain, how does that process get started? Is that a Kyle Harrison thing? Is it a Brewers thing? How did we get to where the scoring changed Kyle Harrison's ERA over the last few days?
All right, so let's peel back the curtain here for those of you watching on YouTube channel. So here we go. The Jiwon Bae play at second base, which subsequently turned into five earned runs when he dropped the ball at second base. It is a PR situation first, right? So you can talk to the official score as a PR person, and then it can be up to the team to file an official appeal with the league to get it overturned. So it's a fielder's choice rather than an E4, which had the earned runs. Now it's an E4, takes away the five earned runs. So that's how it all happens. It's an appeal process that goes to Major League Baseball, goes in front of a group of people to decide whether it's a hit or an error, fielder's choice, and then they make their judgment. So there you go.
So here's what I was thinking about it, though. Like, do you have to go and chat with your teammate and be like, hey, man, I'm so sorry about that, because Kyle Harrison's ERA drops, but now Jiwon Bae has that error on his ledger. I just, that was the only part of it where I was like, awkward.
He's not here anymore. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Also true. That's a great point, Gabe. Great point. Hey, maybe catch the ball next time. So yeah, it does create a little bit of a sticky situation, but certainly if I had a nickel for every time that a pitching coach, especially in the minor leagues when I was the PR guy and I had to deal with this myself, when guys would be like, no, man, it's not an error. It's a hit. It's not an error. All these different things. I'm fighting and trying to get – I have to be that person as the PR guy. It's not fun. It's not a fun situation dealing with official scores, especially in the minor leagues. But it happens more often than you would think.
Jeff, when they play the Dodgers in the regular season, because they're probably going to meet up with them again in the playoffs, do they learn anything over those four games? Because as you know, in football, if you play Tampa Bay in the regular season and then you play them again in the playoffs, you study that tape with a fine-tooth comb, looking at what they do and looking what they may do. Do they pull anything from these series that they may use in the playoffs?
Absolutely. I think, and they faced the four top pitchers except for Otani and Snell in that series. So I think that they learned a lot about themselves. I think the Dodgers are at as full strength as they can be, except for Will Smith behind the plate, but they know who Will Smith is. I think that the Brewers learned a lot about themselves. They could have swept that series, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. They could. I mean, they had a really good opportunity. If it weren't for a really good Tommy Edmund play at second base, who knows what happens in game two of that series. But listen, I think when the Brewers played the Dodgers last year and they went 6-0, they got them in a stretch where they beat them in 10 days or whatever it was. It was 6-0 over the course of 2 weeks because there was an all-star break in between. They were playing really good baseball. The Dodgers were banged up at that time. I think the Brewers saw a different version of the Dodgers in May. And I think they saw a different version of them here this last weekend. But if they face off in the playoffs, they could be a different team then too. So who knows? But I do think that the Brewers have confidence that they can go toe-to-toe with a team like the Dodgers.
Jeff Levering joining us on the Yingling guest hotline. Bryce Terang, we expecting him to be back. And over the final 5 weeks here, Jeff, how much are they going to have to monitor him to make sure that he is as fresh as he possibly can be for the postseason?
Yeah, it's going to be a day-to-day thing with Bryce. I mean, it's about finding a plan that makes him ready to play every day. Again, I think that they're going to be able to avoid surgery with Bryce, which is a good thing, but it's a pain management, and however you can go about it is the best course of action. And then giving him the entire series off against the Dodgers was smart, plus the off day yesterday. Hopefully he's back in the lineup today against the Mariners. They've got three righties pitching in the series, so you might see Bryce all 3 days. You might see him twice, and then an off day on Thursday. So we'll see. We'll see what that plan looks like, but we know that the Brewers are at their best when Bryce Turang is in that lineup.
Jeff Levering joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, for all the hand-wringing that went on within the fan base over the trade deadline and them, you know, doing what they wanted them to do or not doing what they wanted them to do, Dustin May has been really good. I've been very impressed with what he has done in a couple of his starts here. What does your report card on Dustin May's early starts say?
I think that Dustin May was a guy, as soon as they realized that Tarek Skubal was not going to be in the mix, they quickly pivoted. I think Dustin May was the guy that they looked at and said, yeah, this is, we like this guy, and I think we could do a lot of things with this guy. And if Skubal doesn't work out, I feel like we've got a good chance to get him, and they did. And I think that he's been great. I mean, his first start, he looked a little rusty, right? But he was pitching on a different day rest, and he's pitching for a new organization. I can understand all those things, but he was dealing against the Padres, absolutely dealing. And I expect nothing less against the Mariners this week. He's been fun to watch. He's a good guy too. Just a fun and easy guy to talk to, and he gets it. He gets it. He knows what this postseason stuff is all about. He knows what being in a stretch run is all about. I think he's going to be really good down the stretch for the Brewers.
Jeff, I see my guy Sal is starting up a little rehab in Nashville. I love it. You think when he is healthy and back, they're going to plug him in and start alternating him with Laura? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I think that Sal's a critical piece to this whole thing, right? And who knows how that shoulder was affecting his hitting and everything else. But I think Sal is he's a massive piece of this thing. And not just what he does on the field, but what he does in that clubhouse. The Brewers have missed that. And when you're on the injured list, as you know, I mean, your voice does not resonate the same when you're not playing. So you might be in that clubhouse, you might be in the dugout doing things, but it's not the same if you're not out there on the field with the boys. So for me, it's Sal is really, really important to this thing. And as soon as they can get him in the lineup, I think they're going to do it.
It looks like, Jeff, the Brewers going to, for this homestand, go with the six-man rotation. So all guys will get one start, then the off day next Monday, then pare it down to five. How much of that is, A, because someone like Shane Drouin is getting close to career high in terms of innings, so you have to manage that. And how much of that is also, down the stretch run, these guys have to be used to pitching on 4 days rest instead of 5 days rest, because you don't have that much time to rest once you're starting to pitch in postseason games.
Yeah, both things are true, I believe. And there's more off days built in down this stretch, which is nice.
Well, except for that little 16-game stretch they got here.
At the end, yeah, I know, that's a tough one. But it's still, for me, you still have to manage innings. Drone's way over. Mizorowski's going to be way over. I mean, Gasser's coming off of Tommy John surgery. Certainly have to worry about that. They flipped Gasser and Drouin, so they're going to give Drouin an extra day on this end during the six-man stretch. I just think that it's the Brewers are being as responsible as they can with their arms, and they need to be. They need these guys to be at their tip-top shape in September. They still have seven more games with the Cubs. I think that those are critical as well. It's just the Brewers are going to be responsible, and they have to be. But you're right. In the postseason, there are some built-in off days during the postseason, because you'll say the division series, you get two games, you get an off day, then you play two, and then an off day, and then you play. So, I mean, there are some off days that are built in to the postseason. So I don't think that is as big a factor, pitching on the rest that they need, but it's more of managing what they can during this time.
Jeff, anything on Cooper Pratt? Getting any updates on when we might see him?
Yeah, he's been swinging the bat. He's been taking ground balls, ramping up his running. I think that he's getting close. Again, it was more of a precautionary thing. He'd never really been hurt before, and I think that he's in pretty good shape, to be honest with you. I think as soon as he can be activated, he may be activated even without a rehab assignment, is my guess.
So with all these different injuries, Jeff, we've seen some interesting defensive alignments for the Brewers. Andrew Vaughn playing a lot of third base. You had Gary Sanchez over at first. How would you describe the play that you saw between Vaughn and Gary Sanchez on this last road trip? Because it was such an awesome play, but it was also kind of awkward at the same time. I still am having trouble wrapping my head around a diving backhanded stop by your first baseman who's playing third. And I don't know if Gary just looked like he went into catcher mode over at first. It wasn't, I mean, he scooped it. It wasn't the cleanest and most athletic scoops, but it was, I just still don't know exactly what I was looking at there.
I don't either. And it harkens back to the jumbo package defense for me with Aguilar and Moustakas and Shaw and Scope. So I get it. It looks funny. It really does. But it's what the Brewers have to do right now. I mean, do they have other options? Not really.
No.
They really don't. And especially when Bryce is out. I mean, Bryce is out, then it really throws things through a loop. And Sanchez hitting the ball so well, you have to keep his bat in the lineup. And he can't DH because Yelly has to DH. Vaughn needs to be in the lineup because he's swinging the bat well. But he can't play first base because Sanchez has to play there. Plus, you have to keep Bowers in the lineup. So Bowers moves out to right field. Like, Pat Murphy is doing everything he can. It looks like he's picking names out of a hat. But there is some method to the madness of what he is putting together. And you know what? It's working. And I will say this, too. Because of the pitchers that they've run that defense out there with, you can do it. Like with Miz out there on the mound, there's not a lot of balls put in play. So you can put Vaughn over at third base. You can put Sanchez at first and hope that they make the plays that they need to make. Now, if you're running Greg Maddux out there, not that the Brewers have Greg Maddux, they have something close, and Miz is pretty unbelievable. But if you were running a guy who's getting a ton of ground balls out there, you wouldn't want Andrew Vaughn over at third base unless you had to. You would want your best defense out there as possible. So just food for thought, that's all.
Even when Bryce and Cooper come back, could we potentially still see more Vaughn at third just to get better bats in the lineup?
Potentially. I think potentially, but I did. You guys probably saw the stat too. That Joey Ortiz has the best OPS in the National League since the 4th of July. You got to keep that bat in the lineup too. So, right? I mean, and if Vaughn's over at third, then where's Joey? I mean, Joey's got to go to third. And
Jeff, why does Smoltz hate the Miz?
It's a great question.
I mean, what is that?
I mean, I'm not sure Jeff can answer it. But
great question.
I mean, what is he doing?
I think that he just looks. I think he looks at Jacob Mizorowski and goes, "How does this body work like this?" And I think he's just trying to. I don't want to say he's predicting doom, but it sounds like he's predicting doom.
But he did in the first game. He called this
year. That rubber band's gonna snap. Right. Right. I know. I don't know why he's not a fan of him, because he's so fun to watch. He's so fun to watch. And the velocity maintains, and the stuff is the sliders that he was throwing on Saturday against the Dodgers. And I said this in the pregame interview with Murph. I said, the sliders that he threw to Otani and to Freddie Freeman to strike him out, get out of that bases loaded situation, they were great. But the two best sliders he threw were to Mookie Betts in the second inning. In my opinion, because that unlocked everything. Betts had no chance. And those two pitches showed me, and I think for Miz and for William Contreras, who's behind the plate, okay, we're going to get away from the curveball today. Today, it's the slider that's going to be the complimentary pitch.
And sometimes there are just freak athletes. We've talked about this in other sports. Yeah. You know, guys whose bodies defy all laws of physics and whatnot, and yet there they are out there, you know, I've used Michael Phelps as an example before. I think Aaron Donald is an example that you see from a strength standpoint, right? Like, he should not be able to be as strong as he is. And yet, Derrick Henry, right? Like, when we talk about some of these guys. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of chalk it up as like, hey, until the injury happens, if it does, I'm not going to sit here and go, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time before he's dealing with the Tommy John. Before we let you go, Jeff, I did notice your t-shirt when you popped on. And I know that you are doing a campaign to end ALZ, which is Alzheimer's. Tell us about what you're doing on Cameo.
Yeah, I've been doing this for the last few years, Sportscasters Against Alzheimer's. Every dollar that I raise for my Cameo page goes to the Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin chapter. And for the last 2 months of the regular season, so I've been doing this since the beginning of August, I've done a thing where every Cameo I get, I will double what I get. So if you get something for $25, I'll double it for the rest of the season. So it's just part of the campaign that I do the last two months of the regular season. But Alzheimer's is something that is near and dear to my heart and has affected a lot of people in my family. Just my way of trying to give back. And I know a lot of people in Wisconsin and around the country have been affected by Alzheimer's. It is awful to deal with and breaks your heart. And it's terrible for the person that's going through it. It's also terrible for the family and the caregivers that are going through it as well. So the Alzheimer's Association is a great place to get support if you need it.
Let's make sure we do a proper plug though, Jeff. I want to make sure that we get your Cameo out there so that if people want to send gifts, some of these videos to their loved ones. What is your Cameo?
Yeah. Just search my name in the Cameo. I think it's Jay Levering 4, I believe. I don't know. But just search for me in Cameos. There's not a lot of me running out there. There aren't a lot of Jeff Leverings. So just search it up and put your requests in. Fantasy football season's coming up. I do some pretty decent roasts. I've done like draft picks before. School's starting up pretty soon. So anything you want.
And it's not just baseball. Of course, you're calling football games as well. So if you got a fan of college football, yeah, Jeff Levering is your guy. Good stuff, Jeff. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great call. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you next week.
Brewers in action, back in action after their off day against Seattle. Kyle Harrison on the hill. I believe it's Dustin May after that. And then was it Gasser?
They moved Gasser up. Mm-hmm.
Gasser on Thursday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.
When the game matters, where you play matters even more, which is why I chose to become a member at the Wisconsin Country Club. You get a championship-level golf experience. We've hosted a number of WPGA, WSGA events this year. Some pretty good charity events as well, like the Lombardi Classic. So you get that championship-level golf experience right here in Milwaukee with nearly a century of tradition behind it. We're going to be celebrating 100 years here in just a couple of seasons. But what really sets us apart as well, we've got a lot of cool things beyond the course. Great pool, tennis, pickleball, fitness, great dining, and programs your kids will actually look forward to in the summer. It's not a piece-together lifestyle. It's all in one place. I love being a member. You would as well. The Wisconsin Country Club, a better way to experience the game and everything around it. So schedule a private tour today and mention Good Karma for exclusive promotions.